Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load. Joining me now from Yuma, Arizona, I think, is Dean Weingarten. Are you in Yuma?
I am.
Okay.
And I am glad to be here on the air with you.
Yes, sir. Very nice. Very good to have you back. So let's talk about this Fifth Circuit Course cases out there that they say parallels Rahimi reasoning on constitutional rights.
Yeah, well, this is out of the Fifth Circuit, and I have to say that the Fifth Circuit has been a good circuit for the Second Amendment. They seem to take it seriously. They follow the Supreme Court's direction, as far as I can tell, and so they have been a good circuit in which to push cases for Second Amendment rights. And in this particular case, it's actually about someone who's a convicted felon who was out on supervised release and named, I believe it's called, pronounced Kersey. And so he was convicted, and then he gets out. He's in prison for quite a while, and he's on, quote, supervised release. And so, you know, he's not supposed to get into trouble. He's not supposed to commit crimes and all this kind of stuff. Well, he gets involved in what appears like at least was described as domestic violence. I mean, he was never convicted of anything, so it's not quite clear exactly what happened. But in the case, they said, well, you did not afford him his constitutional right to confront witnesses because it's supervised release and it wasn't, a fresh case. He was out on supervised release. So they said, well, we don't have to give him the right to confront witnesses. So, but the circuit court, you know, the appeals court is the circuit court. And they looked at this and they said, well, wait a minute. You are looking at locking him up for some additional time. And it's really a fresh thing that you're locking them up for. It's not the original charge. And so you can't just lock him up without allowing him to confront the witnesses against him. Because what they did in this case is they relied on testimony from people who said they heard what was described as the events, and so they were relying on this description of events, which they believed to be reliable, and the court said, that's not good enough. The Constitution says you can confront witnesses. I think that's in the First Amendment. And so, they said you can't just deny his constitutional rights in an important matter like locking him up. So one of the judges on this case in the Fifth Circuit was Judge Ho, H-O. And he was also a judge in the Rahimi case, now in the Fifth Circuit. So for those who may not remember exactly what the Rahimi case is, there's this person whose last name is Rahimi, and his girlfriend accused him of domestic violence. It went to, a judge issued a restraining order against him in a civil restraining order. It's not a criminal matter. And, in that type of situation, you don't have the full constitutional rights. You don't have the right to confront witnesses. You don't have the right to an attorney. You know, you don't have full due process. You have very, very limited due process, and a judge basically can say, well, it sounds to me like probably you should have a restraining order, or I will grant a restraining order. I'll restrain both parties to this and say neither of you can see each other. And so restraining orders simply take far, far less due process than what is required in constitutional law for criminal proceedings generally. And in the Kersey case, the panel said, look, you know, you're locking this guy up. He deserves more due process than you gave him. And then Judge Ho said, well, look, back in the Rahimi case, that's exactly the argument I put forward. You're taking away someone's fundamental constitutional rights. That's a very important thing. You are not allowed to just do it with a restraining order. Now, it turns out that Rahimi may have committed some nasty crimes that are sufficient to take away his Second Amendment rights or restrain him from exercising them anyway. But he's been charged with crimes, but he was never convicted of domestic violence, and he has yet to be convicted of these other crimes. Now, when people write about the case, and I saw one out of, pretty sure it's North Dakota. Since I'm not giving a name, I guess it was either North or South Dakota.
Right.
And this young, recent journalist graduate, 23 years old, said, person convicted of domestic violence fights to have right to bear arms. Well, no. Rahimi was never convicted of domestic violence. And it's a real major point. I mean, it's not like in every other thing where I hear that people are accused of something, it appears to me most writers go over backwards to say the suspect who allegedly did X. But for when you're attacking Second Amendment rights, suddenly it's okay to say this guy was convicted when that's not even the case. He hasn't even gotten a trial on it. There was, you know, it's just an allegation. Now, given what we know, it may be likely. But I think when we're talking about fundamental constitutional rights, we should be extra careful. And that is what Judge Ho on the Fifth Circuit is saying. He's saying, look, it doesn't matter what this guy is accused of. It's important to note that he is accused. He is not convicted. And that's just the case. Now, I'm looking here at something that says that he was convicted at some point, but I don't think that's correct. Here's what Judge, this is Kersey. Okay, that's why it looks different. He says Kersey was convicted of a different case. Well, that's what they're drawing the parallel with. It's not Rahimi. But in Rahimi, he was never convicted. And here yet we have someone who actually was convicted with more rights than Rahimi ever got. And Judge Ho is saying, look, we've got to be consistent here. We can't just allow this one person and say his rights are violated, even though he is a convicted felon. And then with Rahimi saying, well, too bad, it involves guns, so you don't have any rights. And that's where I thought it was interesting. And to a certain extent, I expect Judge Ho is just defending his argument here. He's sort of making an amicus brief to the Rahimi case, which is being deliberated on at the Supreme Court level while we speak. And he's saying, look, you got to be consistent here. You can't say this is a fundamental right, you know, one month, and the next month say, oh, no, it's not.
Hang on for me, if you will, Dean. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Yeah. Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and I am speaking with Dean Weingarten. And we're going to go back and revisit something just because it was just that good. We're going to talk about this Washington State bear attack that apparently was stopped with a 45 long Colt revolver. Let's hear about this.
Yes, that's correct. And people will dispute whether you should call it a long Colt or just a Colt. revolver, but the fact is that there were 45 Colt cases that were made in different lengths, and it was pretty common, at least colloquially, to refer to them as a long Colt and a short Colt. And then you have the 45 ACP, which is shorter yet. So in this case, it was a 45 Colt revolver cartridge, and it's the later type that actually has a rim on it, and so that's kind of important for this case. And the revolver that was involved is a very rare model, and that Taurus came out with a five-shot 45 Colt revolver that most of them, I think, were made in stainless steel. There might have been a couple of titanium ones made. I have a couple of the titanium ones that were made in 357 Magnum. They're more common. But in my experience, those are some of the nicest carry revolvers you can get, because you get all the advantages of a four or six inch barrel. And they're much lighter, being made of titanium, and they're tough, and they just work really well. I just happen to like that model, and of course, they're very hard to come by anymore. They don't make the titanium model anymore. But so what happened is that you had an accomplished hunter, and I'm going to date myself because I'm going to say young hunter, but he was about 30 years old, and that's certainly old enough to be very experienced. And he had drawn an archery tag for elk in Washington State. I'll add a little bit because it's kind of fun. I have developed a number of sources over the years for these bear incidents, and one of my sources encountered this hunter and started talking to him, and it turned out that he had this incident where he had to shoot this bear with a 45 revolver. His name is Travis Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, and this event happened in 2005, so it was like, almost 20 years ago. And this archery elk tag, which were the Blue Mountains near Walla Walla, Washington. And he had gone up there with a friend, and both of them had successfully collected elk. He said his was a forkhorn, but that any elk you get with a bow, he said, is a trophy. And so he was walking on a familiar elk trail in that area a few days later, and it was the 20th of September, and it was in the evening near dusk. And as he approached a corner in the trail, and any of you have been along, followed game trails, they can twist and turn, and they're not like a super freeway. They're not long, straight stretches, generally. And he comes around this turn in the trail, and he was familiar with it. And he looks and says, I don't remember seeing that stump there before. And just about the time that he thought that, the stump transforms itself into a big bear. And a cinnamon color phase, black bear, about 10 yards away. And just as he's thinking, I don't remember that stump, it erupts into this bear, and it's starting coming at him and chomping its jaws and going full bore at him from pretty close. 10 yards is close. So as this is happening, Travis is thinking, oh, that bear's going to bluff. But at the same time, he took one step back, and he speed drew his Taurus 45 Colt crossbody holster, Uncle Mike. They can work quite well. And the revolver was loaded with Remington, 250 grain, jacketed hollow points. And these are double action revolvers, but he cocked it single action for the first shot. And the bear's coming at him. And he said that he believes he fired the first shot at about 10 feet distance. Now, this is, big bear coming at you, and the first shot's fired from 10 feet away. It's getting really close, and he believes that shot went over the top of the bear. And then he fired another shot, and by this time, the bear is at 4.5 feet. And he believes he hit with that shot, but it didn't have much effect. And then He fired the third shot, and the bear's right under his right arm, so he's basically pointing the revolver right down at the bear. He's probably started to step a little bit to the side, and the bear may have veered because it's been hit by one shot and heard the first shot. And that shot breaks the bear's back a little above the pelvic girdle so that the hind legs are disabled. And then all this is happening, of course, extremely fast. And he pivots as the bear is going past him, and he fires two more shots out of the revolver, double action, and hits the bear two more times in the back end. And all this probably didn't take more than about 3 seconds, maybe 4 seconds. So it's fast. You know, the bear sees it, it's a bear, draw, pistol, cock, aim, bam, bam, you know, bam, 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 bam. Pretty fast. So he now has an empty revolver in his hand because this model holds 5 shots. So he dumps the empty cartridges into one pocket and reaches into the other pocket and comes up with 4 spare cartridges. Okay, so he loads them into the 5-shot cylinder. He puts the empty chamber underneath the hammer, and he's doing it as fast as he can. In the meantime, the bear has gone off to his right, which is the trail is just above a ravine, and he's gone down into this ravine, and he can hear this bear making a lot of noise and thrashing around, and he expects that bear may be coming back any moment. So he gets the revolver reloaded with the 4 extra rounds that he has, and he's hearing all this racket, and he peers over the edge of this ravine, and here's the bear sitting on his backside against the far hillside, about 50 yards away. And it looked at him. And I mean, if any of you've been out there, you know when an animal is looking at you. You can pretty well determine. And it looked at him, and it grabbed one of its back legs, which wasn't working, and stuck it in its mouth and chomped a couple of times, probably wondering why isn't this leg working or whatever, and then throws it down, and then it kind of chuffs and makes a noise, and then he's pulling up the revolver, he's trying to get on it, aiming for the bear's front, and as he's doing, the bear starts moving, it's rolling and twisting, and he fires 3 shots. Bam, bam, bam.
Hang on right there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court has opted not to address, at least for now, a case regarding whether Donald Trump has immunity from prosecution for alleged crimes committed during his presidency. Friday, the High Court rejected a request from federal special counsel Jack Smith to expedite the proceedings connected to his purported efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is warning travelers that bad weather could affect holiday travel.
We may see some bad weather impacting travel around Christmas and New Year's. FAA is working closely with airlines to plan for that possibility.
He says they plan on holding airlines accountable for cancellations and delays. According to a report from a national real estate company, only 15% of the homes currently on the market are deemed affordable for average U.S. families. That marks a decrease from the 20% last year. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Back. This is Locked and Loaded, talking to Dean Weingarten. I'm talking about this bear that got shot with a 45 long Colt pistol. And, well, when we last left off, I was, we were getting to that part. So go ahead if you would like to pick that up.
Okay, so this bear has come at him from about 10 yards away, very fast, charging right at him. It's an animal trail, a game trail, so it's not very broad. And he shoots and he hits it at least once, twice probably before it right gets to him or right at him. And then he's trying to dodge and back one way, and the bear's going the other way, and he fires the last two shots as it's going beside him and just beyond him. And bear goes over the side of a ravine, and then he reloads with his four spare cartridges, and he's hit the bear four times already. But none of the... All that the major damage he has done is breaking the back so that it disabled the hind legs, but not the rest of the bear. Bear goes over the ravine. He looks after he's reloaded, and the bear looks at him, and he's bringing the pistol up to fire more shots. And as he's getting it to bear on the bear, and the bear starts moving, and he fires three shots pretty rapidly, and later determined that all three of those shots missed the bear. So he's down to one shot. He emptied the revolver one time, you know, reloaded with four spare cartridges he had with him, and he's fired three of those. So the bear is moving around. It starts going down the ravine. Its hind legs are not working, so they're kind of dragging behind it. And there is a downed tree, you know, wind blowing or creek undermined it, whatever. And it starts to try to go underneath that tree, but it gets stuck. It can't go forward, and it can't go backwards. So Travis thinks, this is my opportunity. And he knows. He has one shot left in that revolver. So he runs down the ravine toward where the bear is. Bear's underneath this tree trunk. He puts one foot on the tree and fires this last shot between the bear's shoulder blades, angled toward the front of the bear. And as he shoots, the log moves and the bear slips out the other side, and it's flipping, it's rolling, it's trying to get down the ravine. It piles up, a little, maybe 30 or more yards down the ravine up some rocks. And Travis knows his pistol is empty, so he holsters the pistol, snaps it in, and he draws his hunting knife. And he starts to follow the bear, and then he has a thought. You know, he thinks, this is good. And he thinks and says, you know, I really don't want to fight a bear with my hunting knife. And so he starts watching the bear. And it's obviously badly hurt. I mean, he's hit it now. Well, let's see. 5 times out of 9. And at least one of them was decidedly very damaging shots. And so he's watching, and the bear is acting like it's in pretty bad shape. And it's kind of like it's sitting on its backside, and it's kind of like nodding and leaning and like it's about to go unconscious. And he watches the head kind of coming down, and so he says, Travis thinks to himself, well, I'll see if it's paying attention. And he does a low whistle, you know, kind of. And the bear raises its head and lets out a whoop. And Travis said, you know, I need to get some help and more ammunition.
Yeah.
He thought that was a wise decision. So it turns out that in the nearby town, where this creek, you know, the ravine actually feeds into this town, but Travis hikes back there. This is late in the afternoon, by the way. It's getting dark. So it's not like he has a lot of daylight to deal with. But he gets back, and he has a friend in the town who's a taxidermist, interestingly enough. And he convinces the friend to come back out with him the next morning. Well, as long as it takes him to get there. And the friend has a rifle, and Travis replenished his cartridges. And he said he had a belt full of cartridges when he goes out because he wanted to finish the job with his revolver, if it needed anything more. I mean, the bear looked like it was about ready to expire. But during the night, it had rained and snowed all night. And the bear was not where he remembered it to be. So Travis and his friend start a classic tracking search pattern. I've done the same thing many times. And you start where you last knew the animal to be. And then you do a small circle, see if you can come up with some kind of sign or spot the animal. Well, if that doesn't work, you expand the circle. You make it bigger. And then you can't find anything, you make it a bigger circle. And they found the bear. And I presume it was probably in the creek bottom. And in the bottom of an elk wallow, which is where, you know, elk will roll around in this when there's mud and dirt and everything and get coated up with mud and dirt. And part of the reason they do this is because it helps protect them from insects, you know, biting insects, flies, mosquitoes and stuff. And they look in the bottom, and it's a depression, probably in the creek bottom. And they look, and they see a side of the bear's head, just a side with one nostril and an eye and an ear. And then it's also got a bit of shoulder blade showing above the mud that's in the bottom of the elk wallow. So there's not a lot to see, but they do see it. And every now and then, just very seldom, there'd be a little bubble coming up through the mud, which says something's going on down there. And I don't know exactly what. But Travis thought that the bear was pretty much finished. It probably had expired, you know, and crawled into this mud to try and hide, get some protection, maybe cool off. And so he's going down, walking down into this little depression. His friend with the rifle stays up on the little shelf above it. And he draws his revolver, and he cocks it, and he's the bear's like the shoulder blade showing at the level. So he steps to get to the other side, and then stepping to get to the other side, he steps on the bear's shoulder. Well, I'm not sure I would have thought that was a smart thing to do. And his friend up above didn't think it was too smart, and he's got a cocked revolver, and friend says, "Watch what you're doing, stupid," or words to that effect. And Travis, who's now on the other side of this little wallow, and he's looking up at his friend, and he's having some discussion with him about what's the best thing to do and all that. And he's watching his friend's eyes, and his friend's eyes are getting big and white. And all of a sudden, there's a swoop, and the bear's head erupts out of the wallow and about 2 feet from Travis. And the teeth give a big chomp. And Travis said, "You know, maybe I better shoot this bear one more time." And he shoots it just behind the head and finishes it off. So that bear was caught, and it was determined to put up a fight. And, you know, it's just that when you're shot a bunch of times with a 45-foot revolver, it has bad effects on you.
Right.
So, they said this bear looked very small in this wallow because very little was showing. So they start hauling it up. And the more they haul out, the more bear there was. And it took them like 2.5 hours to get the bear out and get most of the mud off and get the bear skinned. And by this time, it's getting late again. So they leave to go get Travis's horse to bring remains of the bear back to civilization. And as Travis was going out, he goes past the place where he shot the bear. I mean, they're right there. The bear's not that far away. And he looks at it, and he's thinking, oh. And he realizes he was wearing a black ball hat, a black sweatshirt, black Wrangler jeans.
Let me get you hold right there. You can finish this on the other side. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline.
airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about this bear that, this bear was pretty tough.
Tough bear, yeah. And bears tend to be tough.
Yeah.
And so to give a little recap for people just tuning in, this was up in Washington State in pretty wild country near Walla Walla. And Travis Newman was on an elk trail after he'd been hunting elk and had a successful bow hunt. And he recognized his trail from before. He came across a bear. He originally thought it was a stump. The bear charged him from very close range. He shot at it with a five-shot Taurus revolver and .45 Colt, hit it four times, and the bear just barely missed him as it charged past him. It went into a ravine. He eventually fired his last remaining shot. He had four spare shots. And one of those had a serious effect on the bear, but he wasn't going to tackle that bear. It was just a hunting knife. He went and got help. He and his friend came back. They found the bear, finished it off, and dug it out where it was in some mud, essentially deep mud. So, what then happened is, as Travis is going out, because we're going to get a horse to haul the bear out, he comes across the same place where he'd seen the bear come around the corner, and here was this bear very close. It looked like a stump at first. And he said that he was wearing a black ball hat, a black sweatshirt, and a black Wrangler jeans. And he said it was the wind was in the wrong direction for that bear to know what he was. But now he smells something, and he realizes there's a dead mule deer doe that bear was feeding on in the place where he first saw it. And as he came around the corner, the bear could not smell him, but he's dressed pretty much all in black, and he believes that bear thought he was another bear trying to steal its lunch. And this was a big cinnamon black bear that was probably king of the mountain in the area, and he wasn't going to have any of that. And so he sees what he thinks is an intruder, and probably mistaken identity of Travis, and charges Travis, and then ends up getting shot and eventually killed. And Travis, this was bear hunting season in Washington at the time, and Travis had a legitimate hunting license for bear, so he didn't have any hesitation about shooting this bear that was charging at him because it was perfectly legal for him to take that bear. And he eventually collected the bear. And a great story. And the bear squared, that's one of the ways to measure bear hides, at over 6 feet, which is a good size black bear. It had been a very good year for berries and a good year for elk calves. Well, this was before wolves were reintroduced into the area, and so that bear was in excellent shape when he saw it. And then kind of as an odd or interesting side note, as he's packing the bear out on his horse, and he's not very far from where he shot the bear, he can look across the drainage, and there across the drainage, about 400 yards away, there's another cinnamon bear about the same size as the one he shot. And he said that was the biggest bear he'd ever seen before, and he was an accomplished hunter, you know, about 30 years old. So I guess when you run across something, they just tend to happen multiple times, because he remarked it was very unusual for him to see two bears of about the same size and color. Although he did say cinnamon bears were pretty common in the area.
But
color fade.
The species was black bear, though, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Black bear, but the cinnamon color fade. And as he said, in that area, the actual black colored black bears are a minority. Only maybe about 10% of them are black bears, are black. The rest are different color phases. For whatever reason, you can see how it could happen by luck of the draw or whatever. And so that was the story that my source was able to find. Travis was very kind to be able to put up with me asking him questions and, you know, interviewing him multiple times to try to get, you know, the best, most accurate story I could, make sure I wasn't making an error, I misunderstood him on something or whatever, and he was very kind to do all that. And at the Amaland story site, there is a picture of that cinnamon bear hide on Travis's wall. And however, a very sad part of the story is he no longer has that Taurus 45 Colt. Someone stole it.
Stole it?
Yes. Sad, sad situation. But he did, he said that for his son-in-law, he has a son-in-law now, that he, at some point, I think he bought it for him, I think it was a gift, he bought his son-in-law the same revolver, but in .44 Magnum. So, it's not completely, I thought it was a great story. Anytime you get in a fracas with a bear, and you come out of it without any major surgery being necessary to kill the bear, yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that would have to be considered a win.
Yeah.
So this and other bear, so that he saw, that bear was not a threatening bear? That's why I left it alone?
No, it was 400 yards away. Yeah. He'd already filled his bear tag, so there's no point even trying to think about shooting at it. He just thought it was unusual.
Right.
You know, you just don't see a big bear that often. And just a few days later, actually about 2 years, this other big bear, very close. And he wondered if that bear maybe had smelled the remains of this mule deer doe that was, you know, starting to create a considerable scent and might have been moving in on it.
All off of an elk hunt.
Yes. Yes.
Elk hunting is a dangerous proposition, isn't it?
Well, it's become more dangerous because there are several places where there are grizzly bears that are in areas where people hunt elk, and the grizzly bears, they're not allowed to be shot since 1975. There's no season. They're protected. They're considered a threatened species. So they've learned that if you hear gunshots and you go running toward where the gunshots are, you might find some good stuff to eat. And those silly humans, why, you can just bluff them or charge them or whatever, and they'll just move away. They'll just give up whatever they got. Why, it's wonderful. And so the grizzly bears learn, some of them, learn very quickly that, you know, disrespecting humans around their hunting kills is a good way to get a lot of free meals.
No.
Those humans never put up a fight.
Well, not a very good one. Not a very good one, anyway. I mean, over the course of time, some of the fights you've told me about have been very, I always think about the one with the guide and the hunter, where the hunter threw the gun at the guide after he dropped the magazine on it.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't blame that hunter at all, because nobody ever told him how that clock pistol worked. And he's desperately trying to manipulate it to try to figure out how to shoot the bear that's killing his guide, And nobody ever told him he's not a pistol guy. He's trying everything he can to get to shoot. Turns out that the guy carried it with an empty chamber. Hard to get a pistol to shoot when it has an empty chamber.
Yep.
And if you're just not familiar with semi-automatic pistols, and I've read of other instances where this has occurred too. They're trying every switch, every control they can, and there's this button. Well, maybe if I push this button, it'll be able to shoot, and that dumps the magazine. And that's what happened in that famous case. Very unfortunate. The guy emptied his can of bear spray. There was a lot of bear spray on the bears, and he got killed anyway. But you know, people investigated and say, well, since we don't know exactly when he sprayed the bear and under exactly what circumstances, well, we can't really call that a bear spray failure.
What would you call it?
A bear spray failure.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I mean, consider if you had the same thing. If you had that Glock pistol and the magazine was empty and there were empty cartridge cases all over the ground, and the bear maybe had a couple places where it was, a bullet hole hit it but didn't disable it, would you call that a pistol failure? I think I would.
I guess so. We're running out of time, Dean, so thank you for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pleasure is mine.
We'll probably have more time.
Yep. Ammoland.com. Go find the nearly 2,400 other articles he's got there. And as for me, I'll be back in about 23 hours. And between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.